Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I have with me here today, Neil Thorne, our SpaceX correspondent. How are you doing, Neil?
Great, Will. How are you?
I'm doing great. Today, we're going to be talking about SpaceX's Falcon 9. And on Monday, February 27th at 1:45 a.m., it's going to be lifting off from Kennedy Space Center in Florida. And it's going to be taking up the Crew 6 mission full of astronauts. It's going to be loaded full with astronauts. I'm excited about this launch. It's going to be really interesting to see a night launch because they just glow and they brighten up the sky. It's like the sun's coming out within 15 seconds. The whole sky lights up and night launches are the most spectacular. So I can't wait for this one.
Yeah, night launches are beautiful. It's a shame you can't see the rocket so well, but it just everything glows so well.
Yeah, it lights up the whole coast.
Yeah, well, you've been down there to see it, of course.
Yeah, it was one of the crew launches earlier, and it was spectacular over the whole coast. It just brightens everything up, turns
crew
night into day.
Make me very excited and very frightened at the same time.
Well, you know, the cool thing about SpaceX launches is that they're kind of rudimentary now. They just happen. You know, the crew launches, the Falcon 9 is so dependable that we don't really have to worry as much as we used to, you know, when Bob and Doug went up there for that demo mission. What was it, demo one or demo two, I think it was, right?
Demo two.
Yeah, demo two when Bob and Doug went up. Those were a lot scarier times. I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's always in the back of your mind, right? What if something goes wrong? You imagine how the people at SpaceX feel, Elon and such. They just must have a pit in their stomach until that thing's past max Q and on its way. But it's at the same time, as you say, very reliable launch vehicle. Actually, they're all, anything launching from America right now seems to be fairly reliable. So there shouldn't be too much to worry about, but just when you let your guard down, that's when things happen, I guess.
Yeah. They've had over 100 successful launches. So it's, you know, nothing has happened for a really long time to a Falcon 9. So I'm there with you though. I still have it in the back of my head and it's, you know, space exploration is super dangerous. You know,
I think it's important to have it in the back of your head, right? You'd never want to take it for granted that this thing's going to go off without a hitch. Especially the people working on it, they don't want this to be routine because it's still rocket science.
right, exactly.
So you want them to be at the top of their game. You want them to be on every valve and every little switch. Obviously, the computers monitor a lot of that now as well, which makes it much safer. But there's always that just fear in the back of your head, which is a good fear. It's a healthy fear.
Yeah, exactly. It's just it's a knowing that this is an important thing that's going to be happening and they'll be sending up people to the International Space Station and the time between the launch and, you know, when they get to the space station, it's about almost a day. It's 19 hours before they actually hit, you know, the time when they can dock with the space station. You know, they have to gradually increase their orbit. They catch up to the space station and then they autonomously dock with the station. And what is it? They're going 15,000 miles an hour? Is that what somewhere around
a little more? I think it's 18.
18? Yeah. Some ridiculous amount of speed. And you're barreling, around the Earth, orbiting the Earth, and you have three of your buddies with you, and you're going to the International Space Station. So these astronauts are excited about it. And
absolutely.
It's going to be a fantastic mission. There's four astronauts, Stephen Bowen, Warren Woody Hoberg, Sultan, I get this one wrong,
El Nayadi.
Yeah, there you go. And Roscosmos cosmonaut, Andrei Fedyev. Is that right? Yeah. Fediev. Yep. And they're going to be there for 6 months. That's crazy. That's a long time. Yeah.
To be honest.
Yep.
I think about these people, you know, Stephen Bowen, of course, has been up 3 times already on Space Shuttle. But I think, I'm not sure about the Roscosmos. He might have been up once before as well. But I think the other two are new, and I can't imagine the excitement that they're feeling. Must be crazy, especially, you know, this astronaut from the United Arab Emirates. He was one of, I think, over 4,000. They chose 2 astronauts, and him and another were picked out of 4,000. what a ride to get here.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's a job. You know, like if you get that job, you are cream of the crop. You know, like most jobs have 100 applicants, you know, and if you're going against 4,000 specifically trained people that are going for this job.
Yeah. 4,000 of just the best people you can imagine.
Yeah.
You know,
and they're all qualified
applying for this job if they're not qualified, you know?
Yeah.
And, here they are. I mean, he's not an astronaut by training, right? He's actually a doctor of, I've forgotten what it is now, but he's a doctor of data leakage prevention technology.
Oh,
so he's an information guy, communications engineer. Which obviously if they're doing experiments up there, he's not the pilot. He's not the captain or whatever. He's just a guy going up there to run experiments and get things going. So, if they're doing any experiments with communications or anything around that, as well as all the other experiments, they're all trained on everything that's going on up there. So, he's just an incredibly talented guy who made the cut.
That's cool. You know, and the cool thing is, remember back in the day when astronauts had to be test pilots, you know, you had to be in the Air Force, you had to be like a military person, or you had to be somebody who is a thrill seeker. And now it's like, you can just be a scientist, you know, you can be an engineer and you can go to the space station.
A lot of
these
guys now are well-rounded, right? They're not only a test pilot, not only they're a pilot, can they pilot an aircraft, but they're also, you know, a doctor in this or that and the other. They've got so many specialities that they're just superhuman people at this point.
Yeah, they're the best of the best.
That said, the Russian Andrei is a test pilot.
Well, there you go.
He was a test pilot. So he's coming from the standard stock.
Mm-hmm.
We got Warren, who is the commander here. Woody. Stephen Bowen is the commander. He's actually comes from a submarine background. He's gone from the bottom of the ocean to the upper heights.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's quite a trip, quite a change as well.
Yeah. So, could you imagine? I mean, because it must be very similar though, because you're in a submarine and you're kind of packed together with a bunch of people in a small space. So they're going to be used to being in that sort of environment.
Yeah. You passed the claustrophobia test for sure.
Yeah. Real easy. Probably the only other one that's been in that sort of environment, I'm assuming. The two NASA astronauts, they've done missions before. Is that correct? Or am I mistaken on that one?
The commander, Stephen, has. He's been on 3 space shuttle flights, including the last Discovery flight. And the other guy, the Woody Holberg, Woodrow Holberg, he's not an astronaut yet. He will be once he gets up there. I guess he is an astronaut, but he hasn't earned his wings, so to speak. He's a, you know, electrical engineer, computer science guy, flies airplanes as well.
Oh, that's cool.
He worked at product development at Boeing, all kinds of different things like that. So he's an all-around talent guy as well.
Like the laundry list of qualifications right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they all have that.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
These are remarkable people. And
it's just the way they are, right? I've forgotten his name. Never mind. I'll just drop it.
Okay. So, they're going to go up to the space station, but they had to get the rocket ready before they actually fly to the space station. So they already did their static fire, and that's basically a real quick puff of the engines to make sure that everything works. All the engines work, the mechanics of the engines work, but also the fuel that runs into the engines works, and everything on the ground systems and everything, all the crew are there to witness this and make sure that everything is functional before they do this launch. That's already been taken care of. So they're all ready to go, and the ground systems are there. The rocket's been, sent vertical. It's stood up, vertical. And then they did the static fire. So everything is ready to go. And they're just waiting now for the proper orbit, or for the proper time to hit the orbit.
Should be fine.
Yep.
95% chance of favorable conditions. So that's about as good as you're going to get, I think, from any weather person. You're never going to hear 100%.
Yeah. Sounds so good.
Great. Yeah. And, I think that they're all set and ready to go. It should be interesting.
Yeah, they had a dress rehearsal on February 24th. They did the whole rehearsal at Kennedy Space Center, and they had the launch teams, the crewmates. They were inside of their custom-made spacesuits, which is pretty cool. Like, how cool would that be? You're just hanging out in your cool space.
Just made for you.
Yeah. Well, just to have a space suit.
Yeah, that too.
Just to have a space
suit. Just to have a space suit.
Yeah. One of these days. One of these days. Yeah.
It's probably cost $2 million.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And they were inside of the astronaut crew quarters, and they took the elevator down to the crew or down to the ground floor. They exited the building's doors. And they drove a Tesla Model X to Launch Complex 39A, and they are just waiting. They're going over some prep for the launch. They're not just sitting, hanging out, watching TV and eating steak and potatoes.
Well, of course they're on TV as well, right? They've got to be ready for their moment in the sun as well.
Yep,
everything is recorded these days and shown live to everybody. So, they want to make sure they know where they're going and they're not embarrassed by going the wrong direction, that sort of thing. So they'll just do a test. It's like having a rehearsal for your wedding. They just want to make sure that everybody knows what they're doing and where they're going.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many moving parts to these launches that it really could just take you just blinking and you miss a turn, and the rest of the crew walks towards the spacecraft and you walk the other way.
which would be very funny.
Which would be really funny, right?
That's something you want to happen,
right? Exactly. And they're professionals, so they want to go over this a bunch of times. Make sure everything's
timed as well, right?
Yeah,
they're usually ahead of schedule, but they do have a schedule to meet,
and they have handlers too. They have people that tell them, like, okay, so you got to exit this door.
Ninjas.
Yeah, the ninjas, exactly. They get them mm-hmm. prepped. They put them in the Crew Dragon. They close the door on them when they're ready to go up. They prep the people, they prep the craft, and then the ninjas leave, and then they do the countdown and, blast off for their 19-hour trip to the ISS. Wow. It's going to be...
Yeah, that must be probably the most fun part of the whole trip. It's just that 19 hours to just relax, get out of your suits, have a nap, eat something. It's probably it's a little cramped in there, but it's not too bad. But having that moment after launch, that moment after all this build up to just relax, and there's nothing you can do for 19 hours. Must be a nice little break.
Yeah, you get one day off basically, and then you're back to work right when you get to the space station. You have experiments to do
something up there, but it's certainly not as stressful as it has been for the last 6 months.
Yeah, because we had some Soyuz, there's been some Soyuz drama up there, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a busy weekend up at the ISS. We've got, remember back in December, the Soyuz lifeboat, essentially, sprung a leak. There was a coolant leak caused by a micrometeoroid, the Roscosmos has said. So that rendered that lifeboat unusable. They can't send people back home in it. So there's been basically, I think, three people, two Russians and a NASA astronaut, whoever that is, who don't have a ride home right now up there since December. So if something goes wrong, catastrophically wrong, they couldn't get home. So I think it was Thursday, Roscosmos sent up a new Soyuz, empty, pretty much, except for a teddy bear in it, but empty life raft to replace the one that's there. And I think it arrives tonight, Saturday, at around 8 p.m. Eastern time.
So yeah, really busy. So within the 30 hours, there'll be another crew going up, heading up and, a launch, and then it'll spend about another day in orbit, like getting to the ISS. So it'll be a couple days before they get there. That's a really quick shift, right? They deorbited the first one.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a couple of days there, but that's an awful lot to take in and deal with in 2 days for the people up there.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
To welcome another craft, to detach and disorbit another one, the damaged one, and then to welcome a whole new crew. That's a lot to take in 2 days. They're going to be tired.
Yeah, they're going to be tired. And
it's all on different schedules too, right? Some of them are happening at 8 o'clock tonight, and then another one's happening at, probably around the same time on Monday. But they'd have to change their sleep schedule and all the rest just to be ready for all this.
Yeah. And they have to do it in microgravity. So they're not just hanging out at their office, doing this stuff. They're floating around in their office in the sky, so to speak.
Yeah. And of course, that damaged spacecraft meant that three of the astronauts that were up there that were supposed to come back next month have to stay up. They're going to stay up there till September now.
Oh, wow.
So imagine going up for a 6 month mission and then being told, hey, you're going to have to stay up another 6 months.
I don't know. I mean, I'd be excited about that personally, but I'd also feel like there's probably a time that you could be like, I've seen South Africa a lot and I've seen Mexico like 50 times. It's still beautiful, but it's also like, what else am I going to do?
Yeah. Ho-hum.
Ho-hum.
Job.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess the biggest stressor for me would be family, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to see your family for another 6 months. What if you had a young child?
Yeah.
And you convinced your family that to give you 6 months to follow your dreams. And then you have to tell them, oh, by the way, I'm going to miss an entire year of your life.
Right.
That's a lot to ask for.
That is a lot to ask for.
That's what they signed up for too.
Yep. Yeah. They know these astronauts and their families know that something like this could happen. So they get into this knowing that there's a possibility. Maybe we'll stay for another 6 months. It's kind of, maybe they want to hang out there. I mean, I would want to hang out in space for a year. That would be cool. I mean, you'd have work every day. Like, you do go to work when you're the space station. You don't just hang out and eat food and watch TV.
That's too bad.
I know. That would be fantastic. Like, what if the next 6 months was just like, just forget about it. You just hang out up there.
You've done what you need to do. You guys just hang out.
Yeah.
You have no way to get you
home. Yeah. Wait till the next craft comes up. We'll get you. Don't worry. Just take some pictures and look out the windows and just enjoy yourself.
It makes me wonder as well, how prepared was SpaceX to send something up there to collect people if they needed to, right? They've got Crew 6. They've had it ready for months, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Could they have sent it up in a moment's notice to collect people if they needed to?
I'm sure
could
there's
they have been something 24 hours away from docking.
I'm sure they have, safety protocols in place for those kind of emergency evacuation sequences, where, if all else fails, if all systems fail and you can't get anybody off that thing, you have to send something up to get them. And how fast would that be?
Yeah.
Could it be 24 hours? Probably. I mean, SpaceX is incredible. They would have to do a static fire to make sure the rocket works. So that mm-hmm. would only take a couple hours, taking the rocket from the bay to the
wherever
launch pad. Might take, you know, might take a half a day, maybe altogether, and then getting it prepped and getting the ground systems ready. I think they could probably do it in a day, maybe a day and a half, if they get everything ready.
Who knows?
If they have all the,
we never have to figure it out.
Yeah, if they have all the hardware ready.
Yeah,
it is interesting to think about. Yeah, I wonder what the protocols are. It'd be
the Russians, of course. This Soyuz they just sent up was meant to be a crew change. Right, it was meant to be a rocket that went up, changed the crew out, and sent some three people back. And they changed it to be basically a cargo mission and life raft at the last minute. And they didn't want to send it up. It happened in December. It's you know, the end of February now. They didn't want to send it up until they found out exactly what the problem was with the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Until they found out it was actually a micrometeoroid, they didn't want to send it up. That's the reason it's taken this long. But who knows how long how fast they could have acted as well.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea to think about, because what is the turnaround time? You know, we've seen, you know, there's usually a schedule in place for a Falcon 9 rocket, you know, something like months in advance for any sort of rocket launch, usually months in advance. And then they have all that time to prep it and refurbish it and get it ready to go. But SpaceX probably has a bunch of rockets kind of just ready to go, like Falcon 9's ready to go. And does Roscosmos have something similar? You know, that's a good question.
SpaceX is sending up a Falcon every, you know, two a week or something, right?
Like, yeah.
The crazy turnaround. And how hard would it be to put a crew capsule on top of one of those? I'm not sure what the difference is as far as the, you know, catches and all the plumbing and that sort of thing that has to happen on a crew capsule.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like something that would be an interesting topic to think about in the future and talk to somebody at NASA or SpaceX about, because mm-hmm. I think the logistics of it would probably be the only thing holding them back, you know, because I think the hardware would be totally fine. It's just the logistics of getting everybody at that place immediately in an emergency situation and getting the ground crew ready, testing the rocket, and then, you know, getting it ready to go.
Safely.
Yeah. You have to be safe with it, because if that fails, then that's the ISS evacuation plan is scrubbed at that point. And then you have to get another rocket, get another crew capsule, do the whole thing over again. If it scrubs on the ground, you know, if that one, you know, just needs a little bit of work, do the work, send it up, you know, who knows? There's so many millions of things that could go wrong with a rocket that there's a possibility that you might just miss that opportunity if it doesn't go well. So yeah, I don't know. It's a very interesting topic though, but
very interesting. And then we've got, of course, looking forward this year, we've got the launch of Boeing's spacecraft to the ISS as well. Their demo 2, if you will.
Yeah. The Starliner.
Starliner. That'll be interesting.
I'm excited about that, because then we'll have two ways to ferry people to and from the International Space Station, which is exactly what we need. There needs to be redundancy.
Exactly.
As much as I love SpaceX, I think that we need more than one way to get astronauts and cargo to and from the International Space Station without relying on other countries or, you know, other systems that aren't immediately available. So, you know, sending somebody to Russia for a launch sounds pretty logistically difficult, you know?
Yeah. Logistically as well. There's language barriers. There's all kinds of issues there.
Yeah.
There's political as well, unfortunately. Things are not as rosy as they were between the two countries. So it's, you know, especially up at the ISS, Russian plans are to separate from it. So it's, you know, it's not as rosy a situation as you'd like up there.
Yeah. And
as in going back to what we just talked about, having instead of two spacecraft that can ferry people to and from the ISS, now you've got three. You just added another 33% to it.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, that's going to be, it's going to be a game changer when they get that thing flying. And that's sometime later this year. I'm not exactly sure when it is at this point. Do you know? I'm not sure.
It was planned, I think, planned for April. I'm not sure whether it's still on track or not.
Okay. I gotcha. Yeah, those are, it's always a fluid schedule because you never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never know.
Weather could be a factor. It could be a hardware thing, software thing.
But that's going up, you know, much like the Falcon 9 we talked about earlier, that's going up in an Atlas. It's very reliable.
Very much so, yeah.
You know, it does make it a little bit easier on people watching.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, that's going to be a great addition to the fleet of NASA rockets and NASA astronaut farriers. But yeah, Monday morning, it's going to be NASA and SpaceX, 1:45 a.m. Stay up for
Eastern
it.
Eastern time.
Eastern time, yeah. Stay up for it. It's going to be a great launch. You can check it out on NASA's YouTube channel. Of course, they're streaming it live or on NASA.com.
I think they start at 10:10, I think it was. I think I saw.
Yeah, it's around 10 p.m. The night before on Sunday night. So
you're going to have a really long, nice long lead up to 7 minutes of fire.
Yeah. And they do a lot of background about the astronauts. They do, you know, they tell the astronaut stories. They talk about the rocket. If you're interested in the engineering part of it, there's a lot of information that they put out there during those broadcasts, you know, about not only the rocket itself, but the ground systems, which are super important, how the astronauts get to and from the rocket. You know, you'll see them drive out to the rocket in their Tesla vehicles. It's going to be like these things are, it's a big show. It's a big production. So it's a really cool thing to watch.
Yeah, they do a great job with it.
And they'll be live blogging too. So if you can't watch it, you can watch the blog. You know, if you can't watch video or listen to audio, you can watch the blog. And that's going to be on NASA.gov. And that starts at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. And then, yeah, it's going to be a sight to see.
For sure. Very exciting.
All right. Well, that's about it for today. I think for the Crew 6 Falcon 9 launch from Kennedy Space Center. And we'll bring you all the news about the launch the day after. So make sure to subscribe to the channel, please. And then you can get all the latest SpaceX and NASA news right here anytime you want it. We upload every single day, so you get up-to-the-date news and information. Thanks for joining me today, Neil. I appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Welcome back.
Best of luck to Crew 6.
Yeah, best of luck to Crew 6. All right, that's it for now. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you next time.